So we're nearing the end. We're going to be wrapping up today this series of messages that we've been using to explore our foundations as a church as we begin this new year, considering what do we stand on, what are the things that are most important to us as a church, how do we live this out together, and how do we really focus on that as we step into this new year. So let's review a little bit. I've talked at the beginning of this about, sorry, I got to get the right slides up here. There we go. A foundation of three G's, I've called them. Help me remember what those three G's are. Does anyone remember what they are? God's Word is one. Yes, that's the very basic part that we start with. God's Word. And then there's, in God's Word, there's two other things, two primary things that God tells us to do. Yeah, Willow. The Great Commission is one of them. Good job. To go out and make disciples of all nations. That's the work that Jesus gave the church to do, to be his witnesses in the world. And then there's the third thing, the Great Commandment. Jesus summed up all that God commanded us to do with love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the greatest commandment. And then the second, love your neighbor as yourself. So that's our foundation that we stand on. This is why we exist as a church, and this is what we're supposed to do primarily as a church, to fulfill that commission and to love God and love other people. And then here at True North, we've identified four primary values that we want to uphold as we try to live that out. All right, help me out with those. What's our N? New life in Christ. And our E, extending grace. Our South, our S, serving in love. And then the W, walking together on the journey. So we've talked the last 4 weeks about what we mean by those things as a church. We've identified these as significant parts of what it means to be the church. And so, excuse me, I think the last question to consider as we think about all this is, well, what do we do with all that? I just shared a whole bunch of information with us, tried to lay a biblical foundation for all of it, and said this is what we as a church want to stand on. What do we do with that? How do we accomplish those goals, and how do we hold to those values as a church? How do we go from just hearing some information to actually applying it to our lives? And I think the answer to that is found in making certain core commitments with our lives. And this is a reminder to us that being a Christian is about pursuing that new life that we talk about. It's something that we live out day after day. It's not just about having belief in Jesus or knowing who he is, admiring him for the things that he did and the things that he said. It's also not just about attending a worship service or other Christian gatherings whenever we feel the need to be filled in some way with a sense of closeness to God or being inspired. There's so much about the way Christianity is presented in our world today that portrays faith as kind of a consumer good. You go to church, you get involved in order to get something from that organization. But what God's Word describes for us is an invitation into a whole new life. And living that out is something we all pursue, is something we make a commitment to. We describe it here as a journey. It's an analogy we like to use, with the Bible as our compass and the Holy Spirit as the guide pointing us in the direction toward True North. That's what the name means. There's a difference between True North, the actual North Pole on the earth, and the place where your compass actually, your magnetic compass points. Magnetic North is a little bit off. We don't want to be off. We want to get on to True North. And so the Holy Spirit is our true guide. These are commitments we are called to are about how we're going to choose to live as we put our faith in Jesus. What are we going to live for? And what are we going to do? What are we going to try to accomplish with the rest of our lives? And the kind of commitments you make once you've discovered the gospel and received new life in Christ, are very different than the kinds of commitments you make when you're just trying to make your way through life on your own, with your own strength and merit. And this is something I want to encourage us all to think and pray carefully about. I'm going to be describing to you today four core commitments that I think about as I think about how we live out this life and pursue these values. And so I have this sheet I'm going to pass around that I list out these commitments on, and I've given you plenty of space to write on this sheet. I'd like to encourage you to just write out some thoughts as we're going through these about how God might be speaking to you in these particular areas, right? There's specific things that God's going to be doing in your life and guiding you within these general areas that I'm going to be talking about. So let me just pass these around. Yeah, Wendy said she'll grab some pens. And if you don't have pens to write with, as I said, if this is something I want us to really kind of think about a little bit more and pray about how God might apply it. And you may have a few thoughts to write down today. You're probably not going to take it all in today. It may take you a while. If you're like me, you have to process things a little bit more. So I want to encourage you to take this with you as well throughout the week and be thinking about it. So give us a moment to get those around, and then we'll continue into the first one. Are we still looking for pens and pencils? All right. So first of all, I wrote down a commitment to Jesus as Lord of your life. This is the first and most basic commitment that I can think of as a Christian, living as though Jesus is actually Lord of your life. And you remember when I talked about serving in love, I began by saying that we all serve someone or something. Either we're serving our own selfish desires or we're serving the will of someone else. We recognize who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He sacrificed his life for all people. He died and then rose again from the grave after 3 days. He is rightfully Lord over all the heavens and the earth. This is who Jesus is. Revelation 19:16 declares, on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in Romans chapter 10, Paul writes about living by faith in Jesus rather than by rule of law. Let's read that together. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. Once again, Romans chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. So again, Paul is writing about faith in Jesus, what the difference between living by faith and living by rule of law. And he says in verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Now, Paul says in there to confess that Jesus is Lord. Confession is something more than just saying it out loud. And depending on your faith tradition, when you hear confess, you may automatically get moved just confessing your sins, right? Telling someone your sins. But confession is more than just that. Confession is a declaration. It's saying what you know in your heart to be true, declaring it publicly without any reservation or fear about what others may think. I'm confessing to the knowledge of the truth of the Son of God. And this is why Paul says, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Because when you make a confession of faith in Jesus, it's not just an idea in your mind. It's not just an idea that, hey, yeah, I kind of like this Jesus, and he sounds pretty good, but he's not really affecting my life. Now you're expressing your commitment to him when you confess that Jesus is Lord. It is entirely possible for a person to believe that Jesus exists, to believe in their hearts that he died for them, but live as though that has no impact on their daily life. It is possible. And that the difference really is, do you just intellectually agree with it, or do you believe it and know it in your heart and you confess it with your life to be true? There's a commitment in that that you're making. In order to be committed to new life in Christ, it's important that we're all seeking to make Jesus Lord of every area of our lives. We are all works in progress, and we have to ask ourselves, are we actively seeking to set aside what we want for ourselves in favor of what we know God wants for us instead? I'm asking ourselves, how do I even know what God desires of me? Am I pursuing knowledge of that? Do we actively work to follow the Holy Spirit and do what God says to do? Do we allow God and his word to change the way we think and act? Or do we simply agree in our minds that God's ways are good, and maybe someday I ought to do something about that, and we continue to live as though he never came into our lives? This is the kind of commitment I'm talking about when I say we need to commit to Jesus as Lord of our lives, to actually confess with our hearts, to say with our mouths, to show it with our lives that Jesus is Lord, who acknowledge that he is above all things, and we are going to submit our lives to him. If we're going to be successful in fulfilling what God has called us to do as a church, I think that's the first commitment we all need to make, to commit to Jesus as Lord of our lives. Now, the second commitment is similar to this. And I say it's a commitment to life of faith in Jesus. It's a slightly different perspective than believing that Jesus is Lord and knowing that he's Lord. So what I mean by a commitment to a life of faith in Jesus, or faith in God's promises, is that you live embracing fully the truth that Jesus is with you and he is faithful in fulfilling his promises. Do we trust that our sins are forgiven, that you are fully acceptable to God and embraced and loved by him? Do you live your life as though God's mercies are new every day, that you have received forgiveness by faith, and that you are made new in Christ? Do you embrace the truth that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God, that your life has a meaning and purpose to it, a meaning and purpose that God has chosen for you, a purpose to prosper you, to give you success, to give you joy? Do you believe that? Do you walk by faith in that? In the middle of the Gospel of John, we read several of Jesus' final words to his disciples before he was taken away. And throughout chapters 14 through 16, he encourages them in several ways to hold on to faith in him no matter what comes. So let's turn to the book of John and take a look at a few of those. I'm going to start out in chapter 14. And we're going to make our way through 15 with just highlighting a few verses in there. So John chapter 14, let me start beginning in verse 1. Jesus says to disciples, "Lest your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." And so Jesus makes this promise, and he encourages them to accept it fully, that first of all, that we have an eternal home with the Lord. There's eternal fellowship with him, that Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us in his Father's kingdom, that he will bring us there, That there is eternal hope in that lasting salvation, that lasting fellowship with the Lord. Do we believe that in our hearts and the way we live our lives? Next, jump down to verse 15 in chapter 14. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Have we made a commitment in our lives to living by faith that the Holy Spirit is in us and with us? That he is the helper that Jesus has sent, and he is available to us in every moment of every day. He will speak to us. He will guide us. God is accessible to us, and he desires to live life with us. Finally, I want to look at John at chapter 16, verse 33. Very last verse in that chapter. Jesus said, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation or trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, throughout all these passages, Jesus was preparing his disciples for the fact that after his death and resurrection, they would face trials and troubles in this world, that it wouldn't be easy all the time. Living by faith in Jesus doesn't mean everything comes the way we think it should come and that life is always easy. No, Jesus told them there will be trouble. But in spite of that trouble, he said, "Continue to trust me. Trust me through the trials. Trust me that I have prepared a place for you. Trust me that the Holy Spirit is with you. He's going through those difficult times with you. And I have given you these promises so that you can have peace, knowing that no matter what the world throws at you, you can have hope and faith in me." This is what Jesus is expressing to his disciples, and the same is true for us. As we go through life in this world, it can be disheartening at times. We can grow bitter about serving God and following Jesus if we lose sight of the fact that Jesus has overcome this world and that he is with us, that there truly is hope beyond every circumstance that we face. Hebrews 12:3 reminds us, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." This commitment to living by faith is a commitment to keep pursuing a life of hope, to not grow weary, to not become disheartened to the point that we can never come back from it. I say that carefully because there will be moments. We're gonna have moments where we feel disheartened. I'm not under the illusion that any of us is ever going to get to that point, that we're just always on top of it. But a commitment to faith in Jesus can keep bringing us back to that truth, that reality, that he has overcome the world, that I have reason to continue to hope no matter what happens in this world. And so if we're going to be able to fulfill all that God has given us to do in a broken and fallen world, we need to have a commitment to live by hope. Faith in the hope that Jesus has given us. Are we committed to that kind of faith? To constantly pursuing him and looking to him no matter what happens. And then we get to the third commitment, which I say is a commitment to life on mission for Jesus. And I think, as I think about living out life as a Christian in this world, it can be easy to let life just happen to us. We go through our days experiencing whatever may come, and sometimes that can be overwhelming. We just can't hold it back. There's so much that happens. But we can go through life just experiencing what happens to us. And we can do it with faith in Jesus, trusting him to take care of us, trusting him to sustain us and provide for us. We can ask him to help us with the things that most directly affect us each day, asking him to help us do our jobs well, to take care of our families well, to be thankful for the blessings that God has given us. We can do all of that. And it can be a good expression of commitment to faith in Jesus. But in the end, we have to ask ourselves, did I serve God well with my life? We have been called to serve. There is more to life of faith than just trusting that God will take care of things for us. He has called us to be his witnesses in this world, to act out our faith. The Apostle James is pretty direct about our need to have our faith be shown through our actions. So I'd like to read what he wrote in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. Give us all a moment to find that. Right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 2. James 2, 14 through 19. James writes, What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. If you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So James makes a really good argument here that the kind of faith that we're called to in Christ, the faith that Jesus is Lord and the faith that God is with us, is a faith that's going to compel us to action. When we love God and love other people, that's something that we show, something that we do. We talk about extending grace. That's an act of love that we do for people. And that's sometimes more easily said than done. There is effort and commitment that needs to go into continuing to extend grace for people the way God has extended grace for us. To be witnesses to Jesus. And the way we act and what we say is a commitment we have to living this life on mission for Jesus. It's not something that just happens by chance. We have to be intentional about it. God will present us with all kinds of opportunities to make a difference for him in this world. And we have to choose to take them and pursue them by faith. We will always have reasons to say, no, I'm too busy. I'm not good enough. I'm not capable enough. I'm not feeling like this is something God wants me to do. There's always reasons that readily come up. We all experience that. And my experience has been that when God calls me to do something, he usually calls me to do something I'm not quite ready for yet. He doesn't say, okay, good, you've got all your credentials, and you've proven yourself, and now you can serve me. Now he says, come and do this thing, and I know that you're not ready for it, but do it by faith in me. So we talk about trusting Jesus. Those opportunities that God gives us to serve, to be on mission for him, are often opportunities to live even more deeply by faith than we ever have before. Trusting him for the results of whatever he's calling us to do. He invites us to walk with him, and with others he places us on the journey. So in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23, Paul writes, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being under the law myself, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. Not being outside the law of God, but understand the law of Christ. he says, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. And I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. And the key point in this passage that I want to bring out today is that Paul said he made himself a servant to all. This was a choice he had to make, a commitment he had to make with his life, that he was going to submit himself to the work that Jesus gave him, to go and be witnesses to as many people as he possibly could, interacting with all kinds of people in all different walks of life, so that he may share the gospel and some would be saved. So Paul and so many other people like him have embraced life in Christ and have chosen to make this commitment to live on mission for Christ, to train and submit themselves to Jesus for the sake of gospel. And this commitment enables us to serve and love God well. So if we're going to be the kind of church that serves in love, the kind of church that extends grace, we need to have a commitment to living on mission for Christ throughout our lives. And this isn't something that just happens at church or when you're with church people. It happens in every moment of every day. Whatever opportunities God gives you, those are often the best missional moments that we have, to reach out and talk to people about the life that we know, about what difference Christ makes for us, praying with them, showing them the love and the grace of God. We do it in all kinds of ways, but we have to be intentional about it. Wendy and I attended a banquet the other night, and we had some great conversations with people, and we were commenting afterward about how it's amazing how often it opens up the conversation to spiritual things when you just mention that. I mentioned I'm a pastor, and we talk about things that we've done with the church, and then people who have no relationship with Christ, or maybe they did at some point in their lives, but they're not part of the church. It's not that they shut us down. They're free now to talk about what they think about faith. And it's amazing the kinds of things that they express. I had a woman apologize before she said what she said because she thought she might offend me. I'm like, no, I actually agree with you. But it's being intentional about being out there and expressing who we are, not hiding it, not covering it up, and also not just letting life happen to us, but being committed to being on mission for Christ. And so that's what I'm talking about with that commitment, to make our lives about fulfilling that great commission. And then the final commitment I think of when I think about these commitments to fulfill what we're here for is a commitment to partnering with others. And once again, each one of us could embrace Jesus as Lord of our lives, and we could trust him fully with everything that is happening, and we could even commit to doing all we can on our own to serve him in everything that we do in our lives. We could be missional about our own individual lives. So you've made all those other commitments already. And in America, it really has become, we've become a culture that's very individualistic about everything, including faith. And so we treat faith in Christ as something that I embrace, that I grow in, that I take care of, that I foster. But as I pointed out last week, there are so many ways that God's word calls us to live in fellowship with him and one another. And it's something we have to commit to. We have to agree that this is part of the life that God wants for us, to be with him and with other believers. I have one more passage for us to look at together. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Amen. Here we go. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as this is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There's this call we have to fellowship, to joining together in the work that God has given us, to stirring one another up, fanning the fires of our faith together. And that happens when we meet together, we work together. And in that, we fulfill these values that we uphold. So we need to make this commitment that we're not just on our own, that we're going to depend on others in our lives. We're going to allow them in. I've talked at length about this last week when we talked about walking on the journey together, that there is a piece of this life that we're called to in Christ that we do with one another. But we have to commit to it. We have to agree to it. And so today, as we talk about these commitments, I want to invite you to make these commitments with your life. And the reason I gave you that sheet of paper today is so that you can put some thoughts to this. I want to encourage you to take that piece of paper with you today and think about it throughout the week and see what you can add to it. See exactly how is God calling you to make each of those commitments. It's going to be different for every one of us. And maybe there's one area that God is really focusing on your life on and the rest not so much right now. Maybe there's all four. But there's specific things that God wants for your life. And he can communicate directly with you about that. I want to encourage you to think and pray about that and write some of those things down. Bring it back with you next week and share that with someone. Make a confession of your commitment to fulfilling this life, the living this life that God wants for us. Okay? And then I have one last thing I want to give you today as a reminder. You can carry with you throughout the week. It's a reminder to be thinking about these. Could I ask, Willow, could you help me hand something out? Would you be willing to do that? Come on up. Will you go around? You can take one of these for yourself. This is for you. Remind yourself. So this is a little... Becky actually found these for us. These are laser-burned compasses on a little coin. You can carry that with you in your pocket as a reminder whenever you feel it to be thinking about these commitments that God wants for us. And how am I going to be committed more deeply to Christ in these ways? So again, I encourage you to follow up on that this week. I'm going to let her go ahead and hand those out before we close together in prayer. So, any comments, actually? Anything you want to ask? Anything you want to say about this before we wrap it up? You like it? Okay. No, it's... When you think about... We can talk about all these core principles, and in the end, it's just information unless we act on it. And that's why I thought it's good to wrap up with just thinking about, are we committed? As a pastor, you often hear, hey, great message, pastor. But the question we really care about is, well, what do you do with it afterward? And that's really what I want to focus with today. So let's pray together, and then we'll close our time together with this last song. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for caring for us, Lord. We thank you for the call that you have put on our lives to serve you. I do pray that you would bless this church, Lord, with a deeper knowledge of you and a deeper faith in you as we go forward. I pray that you would speak to each person here about the kind of commitments they are going to make to you, Father. And may you give us the faith and the courage to follow through. Pray this, Lord, and we pray for your blessing on our fellowship afterward today. In Jesus' name, amen.